Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment. Master Commissioner Robert Mayer presiding.
Please be seated. There's one case for argument this morning. Number 2012-883. Katerina and Evika Sapina versus the Cuyahoga County Board of Revision. The clerk's office received correspondence that the counsel for appellee will not be arguing today, so we'll hear from counsel for the appellant, Mr. Jennings.
May it please the court. I'd first like to go through a couple of things as way of history of the case, and it's helpful to understand the flow of what has all taken place. First thing to keep in mind is that the value that we're trying to establish here today is that of real estate value. The history of this is that the couple, the Sapinas, were approached by the seller of a business, a catering restaurant deli business in Euclid, Ohio at East 222nd. The purchase agreement was first and foremost for that of the business. Also included in the purchase agreement is the purchase of the real estate. The real estate is a standard retail bottom, apartments on top, two apartments, two retail spaces. The Sapinas purchased the entire amount for $325,000. That was business. Real estate. They did not make any allocation. They had a friendly relationship with the seller. The Sapina's mother worked for the seller for a period of 10 years in the restaurant. There seemed to be a continuation of management through this purchase. It was the purchase of an ongoing business.
Let me ask you, does the business also include renting the apartments on the second floor or not?
The business proper that they were interested in and what they were first looking at was the restaurant business. When they purchased the entire package, yes, they ended up having the ability to rent the apartments on the top and the other retail space that was on the bottom floors.
Were there tenants in the apartment at the time of the sale, or
two tenants in the apartment? Each space was leased at approximately $560 and $575 a piece. The retail space was not leased, and until even at the hearing had not yet been leased, although one was going to be moving in. Essentially, this was a purchase of the ongoing deli and restaurant.
I noticed that attached to the purchase agreement was a list of personal property that was associated with the sale, but there's nothing in the record that allocates any portion of the $325,000 to the personal property, is there?
No, that's correct. The subpoenas were not represented by counsel either at Board of Revision or in the purchase of the property itself. And testimony at the Board of Revision revealed that, in fact, she didn't even know that it was important until she found that the assessment had gone up based upon that sales price. It's important to note that in 2006, the auditor had valued this property at approximately $116,000.
Is that in the record?
That is in the record. There was an appraisal that was done for the Board of Tax Appeals at $100,000. an appraisal done for the border revision at $120,000. And finally, the 2012 value that has come out is at $119,500,000. The Board of Revision found for $170,000. The only group or person who was able to reach a value of $325,000 was the Board of Tax Appeals. Interestingly enough, they did so with full knowledge and after having said that they had not questioned the veracity of Mrs. Subpoena. They acknowledged there was no contest that, in fact, the business value was associated with it and an ongoing business was purchased. There was no contest of the fact that personal property was associated with this sale. So fully knowing that the full purchase price had all of this associated with it, the Board of Tax Appeals found for $325,000. Not $320,000, not $3,000, but $325,000. 100% of the purchase that included all items, including non-real estate, were associated with that.
Is the conveyance fee statement on the record here, and what did it show? Did it show all $325,000 as being property at purchase price?
In fact, the conveyance fee statement is not in the record. That's an interesting point in that the Board of Education and the Board of Tax Appeals in the county, at no point in time was a deed or a conveyance fee statement entered into the record as the minimal proof to establish a presumption. Yet the taxpayer has had to overcome this presumption at a burden of proof far in excess of that of the Board of Education, who apparently had almost no burden because they didn't even have to enter in a single piece of paper. They never showed up at the Board of Tax Appeals. They aren't here today. That's a fairly low burden. The burden should be equal on both the taxpayer and the taxing authorities. The purchase agreement was, however, entered into the record to show that the sales price, the 3.25, was a purchase of not only business and personal property, but also included the real estate.
Well. If the conveyance fee statement isn't in the record, then we can't properly consider, I guess, what is or isn't on it. But do you know what was on it? Was $325,000 reported as the value of the property?
I honestly have not seen the conveyance fee statement. However, it's my guess that, in fact, that is what took place. But it is purely speculation. I have not seen that. There was a 2006 case wherein the Board of Education filed the subpoenas, either were unaware of it or whatever. They did not show up at the hearing at the Board of Revision, and that $116,000 assessment was raised to $325,000, presumably based upon an entry of a conveyance fee statement at the Board of Revision. That was the only time that I believe that a conveyance fee statement could have even been entered.
So that was for the 2005, six year.
2006.
Now the sale was during 2006. The case before us is tax year 2007.
Correct. The subpoenas, having learned of the 2006 by way of the love letter stating that they owed additional taxes, then filed the 2007. So it wasn't until well after the fact that they had purchased a business that they found that they fell into a trap for the unwary, basically. Had they been represented by counsel, obviously there would have been a bit of a different purchase agreement. The only attorney was that for the seller.
So Ms. Sapina, I guess, appeared at the Board of Revision but was not represented?
That is correct. And as part of it, that is why there ends up having two appraisals for this particular property. The first appraisal was done, and it was based upon the wrong tax lien date. It was done as he went through the particular inspection. So it was the inspection date. That's where he came up with 120. At the Board of Revision,
But both of the appraisals, just so I'm clear on this, both of them are appraisals of real property, real property only.
Is that right? Correct.
There's no analysis, income capitalization, or anything else of the rentals on the second floor or the income of the business?
No. What they did is that the appraisal, the first appraisal at the Board of Revision, there's not as much known as to what he did because he did not appear. The appraisal at the Board of Tax Appeals done by Mr. Linhart, he received information from the taxpayer regarding the actual income and expenses. He then went to the street and found that was at market rents, utilized market rents and supported by the actuals, and came up with his valuation based upon both market and actuals income and expenses. That, by the way, is directly on point with Higbee's stating that an appraisal and the value of real estate has to separate business from the real estate. The cleanest way in this particular instance, this is not some type of assisted living or nursing home or hotel where the business value is all intermingled with the real estate. This is a two up, two down retail and apartment building. It's very standard in the area. The comparable sales, four of the comparable sales were within very close proximity of the subject property. So the cleanest way to appraise this property isn't to take the sale, and as the Board of Education in their brief had indicated, value the business, value the personal property, and then what's left over is real estate. That is flying in the face of Dublin Senior Community. It's flying in the face of Higbee's. The clean way here is take the property, appraise the property, only stick with the real estate.
Well, I guess doesn't that run into the problem that in the cases this court has said when you have that sale price, you shouldn't bring in an appraisal of the real property itself and try to prefer it to the sale price?
Actually, Canalco and Consolidated Aluminum said that what you should do is consider the sale. Mr. Linhart considered the sale. He reviewed the sales documents. Mm-hmm. He found that the best way to appraise and get to the real property value was to actually do an appraisal, because ferreting out those other pieces would not be as reliable. So he did it as in accordance with Consolidated Aluminum or Canalco 3. The other big difference is that today, I stand, you sit, that law in Berea is no longer the law. The linchpin in Berea was the word shall. Shall was repeated. Shall was a big deal for the justices, and also for Justice Pfeiffer, who warned the court and everyone that a blind reliance upon the sale would lead to valuations that include non-real estate items. Today, as of March 20th, that new law isn't in place,
but
and it allows flexibility.
But you're not contending that law applies retroactively to the 2007 year, or are you?
Well, it's not a retroactive law at all. It is clarification of what that law was.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, if the law is today and we're here today with a live case, that law would be applied today, the same as if on March 20th we had a ruling in this court that said the law is X now. And you'd be saying, are you aware that on March 20th we had a case that just overruled this? And I would have to say, yes, sir, that is correct.
Going back to your Conalco argument, so you're contending, well, you have a couple of arguments. One is that the amended statute changes the legal framework for the court to analyze this case.
That is correct.
The other is that the pre-existing case law applies, that there are enough factors here that make the total sale price not reliable for valuing the real property. Is that a
That is also correct. There's plenty of case law that supports the fact that this sale was not one that should have been relied upon, because the allocation therein would not lead to a basis that is supported by reliable and probative evidence.
Now, the Board of Revision found a value of $175,000, I believe.
That is correct. I previously said 170. I apologize.
Well, I think it's 100. Whatever it is, 175,000. What is your understanding of the evidentiary basis for that finding?
If it may please the court.
Well, please go ahead. Okay. Yes.
The record showed a. Best as we can tell, it says purchase 2006, building land equipment 325. Within parens, it has 165 personal property. Reduction based on sale, and it appears to be of personal property or and personal property. It's not clear from that copy whether that's an of or not. I believe it to be an of because it's the only thing that makes grammatical sense. Having said that, the personal property is not limited to forks, knives, and spoons associated with the catering and restaurant business, but personal property includes the covenant not to compete and everything else associated with that sale of the business.
And includes some walk-in coolers and freezers and items like that.
Yeah. Whether it be walk-in or whether it be whatnot, I don't believe that the point being is it includes a tremendous amount of both tangible personal property and intangible personal property.
I guess the question resolves itself to this. If the court were to agree with your position that there are enough factors present in this situation to say the total sale price of $325,000 should not be used to value the property, then the question arises, well, what procedure then beyond that to establish that value? What is the value you're advocating? Is it the appraisal value of $100,000?
That is, in fact, the only probative and credible evidence that's in the record is Mr. Linhart's appraisal. It was never addressed by the Board of Tax Appeals. It was just ignored. I don't believe there's much mention at all in the decision.
Thank you, Mr. Jennings.
Thank you.
This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye.